Scripture is an infallible, inerrant record of God's truth. Paul says, hold it fast because of its source. It comes from God Himself.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We continue our study of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. We're kind of winding down this study of the first chapter, and we've seen three basic things in the overall study of this chapter. In verses 1 to 7, we have the Christian messengers, and there's an analysis there of Paul and Timothy and the ingredients that God used to strengthen and integrate their lives and build them. And then in verses 8 to 10, we have the Christian message, and there are a number of characteristics that are laid out there of the message of the gospel. And then in verses 11 to 18, we have the Christian mandate, the responsibility that God lays upon every one of us as the people of God with respect to the message of the gospel. The messengers of the gospel, verses 1 to 7, the message of the gospel, verses 8 to 10, the mandate which attaches itself to the gospel in verses 11 to 18. As I look at those verses, and we've already looked at a certain amount of this material in past sessions, I see that there's a threefold mandate, a threefold responsibility that comes to every one of us with respect to the gospel. In verse 11, we're told that we're to spread it actively. So Paul is referred to as a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And in all of those areas, he is to utilize his gifts to spread the gospel. We're to spread it actively. And then we're to suffer for it bravely, he says in verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. We're willing to suffer for it bravely. We look there at Paul's calamity and Paul's confidence. I'm not ashamed. And then finally, we're to safeguard it faithfully. And that's in verses 13 to 18. Paul says we are to protect this precious gospel. We are to understand our responsibility to it. And we are, by God's grace, to deliver it from compromise and from corruption of all kinds. Now, as I look at verses 13 to 18, there are really two basic things that stand out. We won't have time to look at them all, and I think we'll finish out our study of the first chapter with this message. But I see two basic things. One, the first thing I see there is the great responsibility that we have. Verses 13 and 14, hold fast the form of sound words. Verse 14, that good thing, the gospel message, which was committed, entrusted unto thee, deposited with thee, keep it by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in you. That's our great responsibility, verses 13 and 14. The great necessity is in verses 15 to 18. Paul says in verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. They have turned away from me, and in turning away from the apostle, they were turning away from the apostolic faith. They were ashamed of Paul's chains, and they were afraid of Rome's power. The great awakening was followed by a great abandoning. In fact, Paul mentions two men who were leaders, Hermogenes and Phygellus. He identifies one who is faithful despite the defection, and that was Onesiphorus. The great necessity of fulfilling our great responsibility is outlined in verses 15 to 18. Now let's look at our great responsibility, verses 13 and 14. You and I need to come to look at the message of the gospel in the same way that Paul looked at it. Paul says the gospel is two things. He says in verse 13, the gospel is a pattern to be grasped. And then he says in verse 14, the gospel is a priceless deposit to be guarded. Do you notice verse 13? He gives us both an activity and an attitude. It is a pattern to be grasped. Here's the activity. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Here's the attitude. That's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to do it. In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Now let's talk about this for a moment. First, this activity. This is a responsibility that is incumbent upon us as individual Christians, and it is a responsibility that is incumbent upon us as a New Testament local church. We are to hold fast the form of sound words, which comes down to us from the apostolic era, that which you have heard from me, the Apostle Paul says. To hold fast suggests the abiding responsibility, it's a present tense, the abiding, continuing responsibility of the true servants of God to take up into their hands the Word of God, to firmly grasp it, to refuse to renounce it or to let it go, to always be convinced of its relevancy and of its power. Hold fast, he says. Don't let go of this pattern which you have received of me, this mighty message of the gospel. Whatever you do, hold fast to these sound words, which alone can check the devastation of sin in your world and in your personal life. He says, I want you to hold fast to the form. You say, do we have to be so precise? Is it really so important to always be adhering just to the Bible, expounding just what the Bible says? Aren't there some new and novel and fanciful speculations that are just as relevant as that antiquated Bible? The answer is never. Hold fast to the form. That's a Greek word that means pattern, it means model, it means example, it means prototype, it means the standard. Paul is commanding Timothy, and he is commanding you and I to keep before us, to keep before him as his standard of sound words, the apostolic faith, that which he had heard from the apostle himself. That is to be his guide and his rule. Paul is saying this may be an ancient message, but it is not an antiquated message. It may be old, but it is not irrelevant. It still is invested with God's power. It still meets the needs of people. In fact, it is the only message. There is an exclusiveness attached to this message. It is the only message that meets the needs of people. Paul would have us to understand, and I think the authors of Scripture would have us to understand, that this message is of such vitality and power and relevance. This message is so important and must be grasped for two reasons. One, because of its source. The Bible says that Paul received what he taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ, Galatians 1:12. Christ unveiled the message to it. He claimed to speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, 1 Corinthians 2:13. The Apostle Peter stated that holy men of God spake as they were moved, that is, picked up and borne along by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. They were superintended by the Holy Spirit so that what they received and recorded, what they received and communicated, was indeed the very Word of God. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. The King James says, is given by inspiration of God. It would be better, given by expiration of God. Theanoustos, God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is therefore profitable for doctrine, to tell me the way to go. For reproof, to tell me when I've gotten off the way. For correction, to tell me how to get back on the way. And for instruction, to keep me going on the right way. All Scripture is God-breathed. It comes out from the very essence, from the very inner being of God. And God's Holy Spirit superintended the reception and the recording of that word so that what we have in the pages of Scripture is an infallible, inerrant record of God's truth for all generations. Paul says, hold it fast because of its source. It comes from God himself. And then he says, I want you to hold it fast, secondly, because it's of its substance. You know, this is a wonderful message, this message we proclaim. It has many wonderful qualities attached to it, and all of the authors of the New Testament combine to reveal that to us. There is a real substance to this message. It really does meet the needs of the human heart. It is a message that is a substantial message. It is significant. It is special. It is to be grasped, not only because of its source, but because of its substance. I only have a few moments here now, but I wonder if I could very briefly share with you seven qualities of this message which make it such a substantial message and which justify this categorical imperative of the Apostle Paul, hold it fast. The very form of it, hold it fast. May I suggest, first of all, that the Christian message is a substantial message because it is a word of good news. We're taught in Acts 15 and verse 7 that it is the word of the gospel. the word of good news. It brings to us tidings about God, which set the heart singing for joy. Maybe some of you have come here in desperate need of good news. Maybe all that you've been receiving or listening to in the last week or the last month or the last year is bad news, and you're here in desperate need of good news. I want you to know this message which we proclaim, this message of the Bible, this message which we are to hold fast is a message of good news about Jesus Christ, a message of deliverance, a message of salvation, a message of rescue, a message of power for those who will place their faith in the Christ of it. It tells us of Jesus Christ's sinless life. It tells us of his substitutionary death. It tells us of his substantiating resurrection. The word of the gospel leads a man to experience nothing less than the forgiveness and the love of God. It is a word of good news. It's something else. It's a word of truth. John 17, verse 17. Thy word, thy logos, same Greek word is used here, sound words, logos, logon in the plural. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. The whole of life is intolerable. It is unbearable. It is destructive. If there are no absolutes, no fixed axioms or principles. The word of God provides for us those absolutes, those fixed principles, those axioms. It makes a man sure because he knows it's the truth. It terminates his guessing and his groping. The weary search for truth ends in Jesus Christ and in his gospel. And when you come to know the truth, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. There's power in eternal truth in God's truth. It is a word of truth. Maybe you're searching out the truth. Every other religious leader who's ever walked the face of this globe pointed away from himself and said, that is the truth over there. So far as I perceive it, follow that. Jesus pointed at himself and said, I am the truth. Follow me. And his message is contained in the pages of the scripture. The weary search for truth can end for you if you come to Christ and receive him and his message. There's a third quality of this message. It's not only a word of good news, a word of truth, it's a word of life. Philippians 2:16 says we're to be holding forth the logos, the word of life. God's word, the apostolic message, that which we are instructed to hold fast, is a message which enables a man to stop existing and to start living. And it gives to him, as I've said in the past, life with a capital L. It gives to him eternal life, which means it gives to him God's life. God shares his very life with us. This message is a word of life. And this life which becomes ours when we respond to this message is the very life of God. It is eternal life, and God is the only being in the universe who is ultimately eternal.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Who can hold back anything from a God who would come and live and die for unworthy creatures like us?
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.